Today's episode of Market Talk is brought to you by GrowMark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Thursday, June 3rd. I am your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here with us once again. MarketTalkAg.com, that is our home on the web. The all-new MarketTalkAg.com, I should say. Check it out there. Got a lot of great new features, ag news, market information, much more on our website. All of our streaming sources, links, social media, you name it. It's all one place, markettalkag.com. Well, the grain markets took a downward move here throughout much of the day today after being higher overnight. Let's talk about all of it, bringing our good friend John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing here today. John, good afternoon. And, you know, I woke up this morning, I looked at the overnight thinking, oh, another up day in the markets. And then, poof, we took a little ride to the downside here today. I know there was a couple factors out there. And I think to start, weather has been the hot topic this week. We got some new weather models in that giving us a little bit of a better chance for rain. Not a big one, but enough apparently to help kind of fuel a move lower.
Yeah, that was probably the biggest factor that caused the big push in the markets here at midday today or towards the last half of the day. You know, we just saw a few the models come in a little bit wetter in terms of what could be coming through the northern plains. Still going to stay extremely hot, extremely warm, but bringing a little bit more rain chance in. You know, it's a weather market, maybe a little early to be trading a weather market. And again, it's a market that, you know, the players are jumping in and out very, very quickly based on momentum and things of that nature. You know, so when that news kind of came out, we saw the move in the spring wheat contract, put a kind of a negative turn on that chart today, you know, and it just drug everything else down. So not the best closes. Obviously, we're looking really good going into the open this morning and now putting in a negative day. Technically breaks the charts down a little bit. Wouldn't be shocked we see a little more follow through tomorrow, especially if the models stay, you know, fairly consistent in their forecasts. But they change them and drive back out again, which, you know, they run those on a daily basis a couple times a day, you know, that we'll see this market come right back.
Yeah, very, very true. And we think about all that money that's sloshing around in these markets and all the, you know, the volatility that we've been talking about for weeks and months. And, you know, it was on full display here today. We got a little bit of a worry with the weather models, got some of the inflation and worries and the rising dollar that contributed to early on, and just saw some of this money move out. And you mentioned maybe some follow through tomorrow, but you know, the way this market's been trading, if we get a little follow through, then who knows? We'll come in Monday, possibly, potentially, or even tomorrow and buy the breaks once again. It just seems like it's a lot of volatility, and I know a lot of producers are just watching this and shaking their heads a little bit at just how much volatility there is in the grain market right now.
Yeah, you know, especially look at last week. We had a, you know, limit down day. We had a limit up day during the course of the week, and where did we end up on December corn? Down 2 cents, you know, from the prior week. So it just kind of tells you, you know, we're not really moving anywhere, even though the roller coaster ride is very impressive in terms of how things are moving, how fast things are moving. You know, still, as I've said to producers, especially in this window, you know, take advantage of the strength here. You know, we still have that acre report coming up at the end of the month. We still had a very good start in terms of the crop ratings coming out. If the weather models stay wet, you know, a little bit on the wetter side, you know, obviously that's going to be very pushed, you know, very weak. Sorry, it's very stressful on price, push prices lower. You know, so we got to take advantage of those runs that we get 15, 20 cents to the upside like we saw this morning. Probably a great opportunity to move a little more corn if you're light. But then you got to come back. We got to use option strategies. We need to minimize the risk. If you just want to stay in front of the weather, use short-dated options and get out into September. If you want longer season options, you know, go ahead and get out into December, even in the March over top of corn or January on beans, and at least keep some upside potential in. Now, I still don't want to spend a lot because I want something there just to add some value to a pretty good sale. But at the same time, I want to make sure there's something out there in case things do fall apart and this market takes off. We got something to cover that what if scenario.
You know, John, I was going to ask you. I saw on Twitter this morning a producer saying he's 60% sold on his new crop sales, on new crop corn. He's in Iowa. And I saw a couple other people reply to that tweet saying they're, you know, around even 40% sold on new crop corn. What are your thoughts on just what's a good percentage to have sold for new crop corn right now, looking at these prices, especially if you're a producer who maybe hasn't made a lot of sales yet and starting to hear all this chatter about weather issues?
I like that 40% level. That seems to be a good starting point, at least going into the, you know, middle of June here before that report. But you got to know what your crop is. You got to feel comfortable with what level you are. You know, if you can look at the crop and realize maybe you got off to a good start, you got good moisture, you can reach out a little further and lock in some better opportunities. You know, obviously, if you're concerned on weather, you may not want to be at the 40% level. So, you know, it's going to come down to individual basis. But that's kind of the standard number I've been saying. Let's get it to 40% sold. We're going to be picking up puts here real soon. I've been in and out of some puts at this time frame, but I want to make sure we have a good base put together going into that acreage report in case we do get the bearish surprise. I want to make sure we got at least the $5 level on corn protected, $13 on beans. I know that sounds like a long way out, but again, we're not spending a ton of money on those puts. We just want to have something in to get us through the summer in case we get some type of a washout event, but still be at a manageable level in terms of your margins and your profitability.
Yeah, because we always talk about it, and we've heard a lot of farmers worried about getting too far over the front of their skis with those new crop sales. But to me, it seems like that 40% level is probably a pretty solid level to be at for some new crop sales, especially where prices are at right now. One more note on weather. You know, we're looking at the Northern Plains, all the worries up there. They're talking, you know, 100-degree temperatures here that round out the week. That spring wheat belt, we've seen a lot of strength in Minneapolis spring wheat here this week, obviously pulling back today, but any thoughts or anything you're hearing from growers up there in that spring wheat belt, just how dire that situation is and maybe any advice for that spring wheat market?
No, there's obviously a lot of concern. You saw the ratings, 43% good to excellent on spring wheat crop. Then you see the corn ratings, 48% good to excellent, down nearly 25% from last year at this time frame. You know, that's the thing in this market in general. We need those North Dakota acres, okay, for beans and corn and these totals that we're looking at for the end of the year. So getting back to your point, though, you know, that spring wheat crop, we just came short of the new contract high today, and that was kind of disappointing to see. You know, again, I think it's just a technical turn. We'll have to kind of watch how it wants to trade out. Did put a bearish reversal on the daily charts today, so we'll have to see if that gets some additional follow through. If we do see those forecasts dry out, this market's going to run. Now, the problem is it's kind of an illiquid market. There's not a lot of players in it, so working options and those, or future strategies sometimes can be very risky because this thing can really move and you can be behind the eight ball quickly. I would still say you try to target some of the options in the more heavily traded areas, heavily traded months. At least keep some potential open, especially if you want to move some wheat in. The last place of it too, make sure you're building some floor. It's a wheat market, and things can move very, very quickly. I mentioned this morning on the broadcast call, looking at Chicago wheat of 22 the day. We were over $7 this morning at the start of the day. That's a pretty good starting point for people to start thinking about sales because there's so many places in the world that raise wheat. You know, we're number 4 or 5 on the global list. So even if our crop isn't there and everybody else gets a good one, you know, our prices will come down. So you got to think about that and protect, you know, good margins for yourself.
John, let's move over to livestock. You know, I walked away from my quote screen for about a half hour, 45 minutes today, came back and saw cattle did a decent reversal and finished fairly quietly mixed on the session in live and feeder cattle. Hogs moved their way higher as well, but we'll get to hogs in a second. I want to look at this cattle market. You know, we continue to see box beef prices soar higher, yet this cattle market's still kind of stuck where it's at. Feedlot country, getting some sales in there, but were you happy with the reversal on the close today, at least getting us back close to unchanged? What did you see in cattle today?
Yeah, I'm looking at the cattle market. Obviously, we've had a bit of a crazy couple of days, you know, with the JBS issues in terms of the cyber attack and the hard sell-off to start the week and the recovery off of that. Yesterday's recovery following through when we kind of realized that wasn't going to be that big of a deal in terms of time, you know, constraints and backing up cattle, you know, got us back right basically where we were before this thing even occurred. So then it comes back to what's the market doing and what's the market reflecting. You know, solid strength. We got June options coming off this week, so that's going to keep a little bit of volatility in that June contract. Then we're getting closer to, you know, first notice day and things of that nature. Typically, this market, you know, has a tendency to bottom out between first notice day on June and expiration. So we kind of got to watch that window. I'm still on the defensive, at least in the front end. I've been holding hedges in August and even in October, but I like the deferred. And you're seeing that chart kind of play out that way, the board playing out that way, as we're really got a bear spread market. We got cattle backed up in the front end. We can't get the cash market to move like we would hope it would, given those retail values. That seems to be a trend that's probably going to stay with us at least into the summer months. You know, but then we're looking at that longer term picture, what's out there third, fourth quarter, first quarter of next year. And their charts are a little more friendly, a little more open to the upside. And that's kind of what we're seeing play out on a daily basis. So right now, I think cattle market probably grinds sideways, the lower on the front end, sideways, the higher on the back end, just kind of given the situation that we're dealing with here. And it seems to be kind of holding that bear spread pattern at this time frame.
On the hog side, a higher day today. Pork cutout values continue to rise as pork prices continue to climb. And just look at this hog market. I mean, pushing, you know, to more record highs here. It just seems like there's no end in sight with this hog market. But it's also, I feel like I'm starting to hear from producers that, you know, unless they're really invested in hogs, I mean, they're getting a little leery about where this market is at right now.
Well, you know, you're talking historical highs, so it's understandable, you know, what's the picture out there. We don't have anything, at least in terms of a disease or something of that nature like we did during the PED year that caused prices to get to these levels. This is strictly a demand-driven market and, you know, seeing tight supplies globally. Now, looked like the hog market was trying to take a little pause, and that disappeared today as those retail values were strongly higher again today. We'll get export sales numbers tomorrow. You know, last week was very strong. We'll continue to see if China's in the market. That's always just the big focus of the traders. That could probably give us a good set in terms of how the price directs into the next week based on those export sales numbers tomorrow. You know, right now the pork product is not there. The demand is still there. We finally saw Chinese hog prices maybe bottom out and start turning a little bit higher here this week as well. So that could bring maybe a little bit more demand back into the market in general. Right now, the fundamentals are still pointing up. I don't have a topping signal in. I don't see one coming in the near term. And it just feels like anytime this market has a chance to pull back a little, like we saw earlier this week, especially in that July contract, turns into an opportunity to get long. I'm still targeting 130. That's kind of my landing zone, and that's where I'm going to definitely probably be sliding more defense in. I've been doing it as we take stair steps up, but again, I want to continue to build that base because if it does come down, it's going to come down hard.
Dairy market, any updates for us on what you're seeing in the dairy market this week, John?
You know, dairy market's been kind of tied to what's happening in the product market. We've seen a lot of value come out here in the last couple of weeks, disappointing, obviously, to the dairy producer. You know, we're just sitting at $19, $20 milk a couple weeks ago. Now we're down at the bottom of the range in the, you know, upper 17s. And so we got to kind of watch where we're at. Maybe this is a window we can hold here. You know, I did see dairy exports for the month of March were at a record pace, so it's encouraging to see. But the biggest problem we got right now is production. You know, last milk production report, we continue to see more cows out there. We continue to see production, you know, running 3.5% over last year. And that just brings a lot of supply into the market. So still going to take a little while, I think, for this market to figure itself out. But right now, I'm, you know, pretty cautious of where prices are. Like to see if we get some lift back in this thing. I definitely want to stay in the defensive until we start seeing those cow numbers start coming down and that production come down.
Well, John, any other final thoughts you have for us here? Anything you want to reiterate before we run out of time today?
You know, again, these markets are going to stay extremely volatile. It's not going to go anywhere. These are not our traditional markets. You know, we don't have guys in Chicago at the pit, you know, looking at the fundamentals, making trades accordingly. You're going to see swings that are going to be wild and crazy, like even today. I mean, you're talking a 30 to 40 cent swing from high to low on the July corn contract today. That's the momentum traders. That's the computers. So what do you got to do? Stay focused on what is a good number for you, what's profitable, what works for your margins. Make the sales and then shift the risk. You know, don't sit here trying to hit home runs this year. We're looking for solid doubles off the wall, per se. You know, just let's get some good numbers in. Don't fall asleep on next year because if production comes back, all of a sudden that opportunity to get a good toe in the water next year might disappear very quickly as well. So like I said, stay disciplined to your on your margins and your profit levels. make the sales, find a way to shift the risk.
And I know folks can reach out to you and the team, Total Farm Marketing, for any advice they have with their marketing plan. You guys have a lot of great features, a lot of great ways to connect with producers out there, don't you?
Sure. Love to chat with them anytime. Feel free to give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And then again, we've got our website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Again, we have webinars after the USDA reports, as well as just market news, weather information, things of that nature on that site. Feel free to check it out. Find my bio. Feel free to shoot me an email.
TotalFarmMarketing.com, great place to start. And John, appreciate the time as always. Have a great rest of your week and weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Appreciate your time. Have a great week, everybody.
John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest today here on Market Talk. Find us online, MarketTalkAg.com. Today's show brought to you by GrowMarkFS. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your Thursday.